Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk about pets, baby. Let's talk about ticks and fleas. All the fun things that we see. Smart tips and tricks guaranteed.
Pet friends, welcome back to another episode of Let's Talk About Pets. I'm your host, Nessie, legendary lake dweller, vet tech, and proud minion to a small army of spoiled furballs. Today, we're diving headfirst into numbers behind those adorable paws, fluffy tails, and vet bills that make your wallet sweat a bit. I have a special guest with us today to tell us more, the Senior Vice President and General Manager of the Pet & Co. brand business at Synchrony, Jonathan Weinberg. He's here to help make sense of Synchrony's new release 2025 Pet Lifetime and Care Study. Spoiler, it's not just kibble and money anymore. This is where the financial savvy meet purry passion. Jonathan has nearly 20 years in global finance, including a powerhouse run at GE Capital. He now leads the charge on all things pet wellness, co-branded growth, and innovation at Synchrony, including the Walgreens portfolio and beyond. He helped launch pet insurance into big leagues, sits on the board of Independence Pet Holdings, and still finds time to globetrot nearly 95 countries and counting. To keep up with him, he has his wife, energetic son, and their even more energetic poodle, Maddie, living here in Florida. Trust us, this guy you want in your financial corner and at your dog park. Welcome to the show, Jonathan.
Oh, wow, Nessie. I can listen to that for another 30 minutes. And I got some updates. I'm going to hit 100 on the 4th of July weekend. So I'm excited for that. And as you mentioned, I'm in Florida. So we're going to try to do some of these islands. I think we're going to like St. Martin and St. Bart's and stuff like that just for about 4 or 5 days. So I'm excited that next time I'm on, I'll be in the Century Club and we could celebrate that.
That's very exciting. I'll make sure we point that out at that time. Do you have maybe a fun fact that you want to start us out with?
Ooh, well, my 100 countries aren't fun enough. Well, I do. I actually, it's great that we're talking this week because you talked about our miniature poodle, Maddie. And so she just celebrated her 15th birthday. We had a joint Father's Day / birthday party. We went to one of her favorite restaurants, which surprise is like a steakhouse. And it was great. It was great to spend that time with Maddie, especially she's the dog that made me a dad. I guess I had a Portuguese water dog before Ruby, so I shouldn't say that Maddie's the one who made me a dad, but she is currently the one who is the longest standing child because my human son is 7 years old.
Oh, 7. That's a fun age. Actually, Maddie looked great for 15, by the way. So you're doing something right.
Yes, I think we're lucky. We obviously invest a lot in her well-being, not just monetarily, but also the time that we spend with her. And she's such a critical part of her family. So she's doing well. But as with all senior pets, and we're going to talk about that, you know, along comes certain expenses and choices you have to make. But we've been lucky to have her in our family for the past 15 years. She's lived with us all over the world. She lived with us in Hong Kong. She lived with us in London. She's lived in New York. She's lived in Miami. She's been to 13 countries. So she, you know, she's not quite 100, but she's got her own little passport and she gets around town.
That's crazy that she gets to go to all those places. I'm lucky. I've been to maybe a couple of states outside of Florida. I'm jealous of her.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I think if someone asked me, her favorite was London because, you know, she was obviously younger and you could be off the leash a lot in the parks. And so she would merely go and run around and explore. And we live next to Hyde Park and Kensington Gardens, which was very large. And she would always be, and I didn't know this. You guys know this better than me. Is she would find the fox poo and she'd rub herself into it and, take advantage of that, which made her so happy, except for everyone else that had to be smelling her.
Yeah, I bet not. All right. I kind of thought for reviews, I would pick some animal related places like some aquariums or gator farms, those kind of things. And I would name them after Care Bears in connection with Care Credit. I kind of thought it would be funny to name our reviews after Care Bears. So I'll start us off with our first one, if you don't mind. It is going to be for Magnolia Wilds. And that is kind of like a wildlife preserve in Louisiana. I actually have been there and had a great experience. Our first review is from Share Bear, which...
Yes.
Good job.
Oh, yeah. Sharing is caring.
Share Bear left us a 3-star review. It doesn't have a title. They just went straight into the meat potatoes of it. Our guide basically stated that every animal we seen would murder you. Not the proper tone when addressing little kids. Immature, and stated every animal hated her and how ridiculous it is to have us walk up the hills to see the animal. Would have been nice, but the guide was a joke.
Interesting.
So I didn't have that experience. My guide was great, but there were a lot of hills because it's a wildlife preserve, you know?
I didn't realize until now that my mother-in-law went there also, but it sounds like that's what I get from her. So, you know, there you go.
Was she perhaps the guide that was telling everybody, this animal wants to kill you?
Oh, yeah.
They all hate me. I don't know why I'm here.
Throwing on it.
See the job for you.
Maybe not.
Do you want to give us an overview on the pet costs found in your 2025 pet lifetime of care study?
Of course. And thanks for having me on to be able to talk about this important topic. We do this at Synchrony, you know, every couple of years, kind of take a barometer of where costs are going in the industry, right? Thanks for the kind introduction that you made. Synchrony is a bank. It's a large financial institution, specializes in helping consumers pay for the products or services that they need. The business that, you know, I spend the majority of my time in is a business called Care Credit, which is the largest elective healthcare credit card in the U.S. and really helps consumers approach the large costs and break it down into more manageable bites, right? And we've been in the vet industry for over 30 years, approaching 35 years, and are accepted in about 85% of the vets. So it's something that we do to really help educate our customers and our partners about what we're seeing in the industry. And what we're seeing is large increase in cost, both for dogs and for cats, right? And the last time we did the study was using 2022 numbers, right? And dog costs have increased almost 12% since then. And cats, almost 20%, right? I think people are investing a little bit more lately in cats. You've seen a lot more adoption of cats lately and other things that are driving costs up. Now, we don't do this to scare people away from pet ownership. We do it so that people know what kind of responsibility they're taking on by being a pet parent and a responsible pet parent, right? Because you're signing on to an agreement. This is a living being, right? You know, Nessie, you're signing on in your career to do it in your life because you're so dedicated. But every pet parent obviously is dedicated to that, bringing that family member in. We want to make sure that people are prepared. And the best way of doing that is going in with your eyes open.
That's a great way to describe that. And I know at our clinic, we take Care Credit and a good percentage of our clientele use it when checking out. I also do a little bit of reception work here and there. So I've seen what comes through.
All paws on board, right?
Right. I think that it's a great resource available to them because a lot of times it might not be something that they were able to have gotten done for their pet otherwise.
Yeah. What we find, and this has been consistent over the years, at least since I've been in this role, and has even proven more true over the last few years, is that pet parents that have Care Credit visit the vet more frequently than those who don't, and that they have better compliance of care than those who don't on average. That doesn't mean you're not a good pet parent if you don't have it. It just means, like, on average, you have the ability and the flexibility to be able to approach those bills in a more approachable or thoughtful way when at certain times you might not be able to. So it's about options, and we give that pet parent the option to split that payment over 6, 12, 18 months without incurring interest if you pay within the promotional period. And so it's a deferred product where, you know, nowadays that's something that's really valuable. And as we said, it's not just a cost that's going up, right? It's also just in general, you know, we're in an uncertain economic time, right? And, you know, savings rates are a little bit lower, and people need more time to pay for some of those bills. Now, again, I go back to talking about costs going up.
Yeah.
Costs are going up. Costs going up is not necessarily 100% a bad thing, right? There is an element of inflation, things that are beyond control. But let's be honest, and Nessa, you probably see this more than I do, the outcomes are much better also. So people are paying for a lot more quality. The work that veterinarians, vet techs, the office staff, everyone's putting together, pharmaceuticals, you're getting better outcomes for your pets. We're seeing a lot more specialization and we're seeing greater care. And because of that, yeah, there's an element to cost, but you're all right paying for that because but you're going to get a better outcome. Still, the ability to pay is what becomes more important. And the ability to get that ideal outcome is what's ever more critical these days.
I can go ahead and vouch for the standard of care is different now because I started in kennels about 20 years ago, and I'm not going to put out anybody's names or business. It's not where I'm currently working or anything, but they kept sharp containers in milk jug, essentially. You know what I mean? Like it's different now. We have proper disposal. We have, standards of care, and we have a spectrum of care is what they call it, where you can go to higher levels and gold standard care. But if that's not in your means, you can drop it down to this is also an acceptable plateau for you to be on. So yes, it's very different from when I started 20 years ago.
Yeah, what's right for one family is not necessarily right for the other. And what's right for one pet is not necessarily right for the other, right? So it's about, we all don't fit in the same box, but there is a box that we fit in and finding that out. And that's where we try to, help out is enabling everyone to be able to get into that space in the right way.
Absolutely. Do you have a breakdown on the estimated cost of lifetime care for pets, like dogs, cats, pockets?
Well, I hope no.
I am.
So I'm going to prepare you because it is going to include everything. So it's not just, medicine.
From adoption to the final cremation type.
Yeah, exactly. Adoption, shelter, however you get it through end of life, right? And an average of 15-year lifespan. So Maddie, you didn't hear that. Maddie, you're living forever.
Right. Maddie's forever. Mm-hmm.
For a dog, 15 years. And it's a big range, but $22,000 to $60,000. So it's a big number. Now, for some people, that's nothing, right? It's like, yeah, okay. And for other people, it might be too much. I think for most people, and in my opinion, it's a worthwhile investment. And I'm talking about dogs. I'm going to go into cats in a second, as Maddie is his dog. So I'm using it as an example. I would think with Maddie, just given where we've lived for my career and some of the underlying health issues that she has, she probably trends a little bit higher, right? She has Cushing, but she's a poodle, so she deals with that. So there's a lot of maintenance that she has to have and medication. She also has a mitral valve deficiency. Actually, the week after next, I'm taking her to her cardiologist, her semi-annual EKG and making sure everything is working with her heart meds, and she's on stuff like that, right? So it all depends. For cats, it's significantly lower, $20,000 to about $47,000. But I think there's also a much larger spectrum of care as people kind of sometimes view a cat as just kind of set it and forget it. I'm not suggesting that, but some people are like, okay, a cat's inside, doesn't need all this stuff, doesn't have the compliance of visits to the vet for two reasons. Number one, because of the way some maybe people perceive it, but then also bringing a cat to a vet is not the easiest of activities. I've done it for my sister-in-law a couple times, and it was I scored some good brother-in-law points, let's just put it that.
Yeah, absolutely. I have an 18-year-old cat, and she's wild, but I would say she goes for blood work twice a year because she's a senior cat, and we got to catch that stuff early. But I can't stress how important it is to get your cat into the vet as well. I mean, they are basically not small dogs. They are probably one of the more exotic animals we keep in the house.
No, it's funny. When I think about surprises of costs, to me, it was dental care for Maddie. Just a small dog, it's a bit stressful because you're putting him under anesthesia, right? And then if you have an extraction, and it could be a $2,000 procedure right then and there. And people are like, really? And then I'm like, dogs do everything with their teeth. First of all, even in human health, dental care is so critical. It's such an important indicator of your overall health, right? But in dogs and in cats, they can't do so much with their paws and stuff. They do everything with their teeth. If their teeth aren't healthy, you're not going to have a healthy dog.
Mm-mm. And small dogs, they tend to be more prone to that dental disease. Good to have that in there. Also, pocket pens was mentioned on here. Is that, you know, guinea pigs and stuff like that?
That's exactly right. So when we did the last study, we got a lot of feedback from our pocket pets, you know, smaller companion animal pet parents. And they were like, what about us, right? And so we said, okay, you know, so let's do some research on them. And yeah, the number is not obviously as high as it is for a dog or a cat, but it's still not something that you just bring home from the store and think that you're never going to have to deal with, right? It's something that is still a part of that family, and you got to take responsibility. So in the survey that we had, 59% of people that have shared house with a pocket pet consider them a part of a family. So you're going to want to be able to be prepared to pay for that care.
Yeah. When I was a kid, we had a hamster. His name was Barney, in case you couldn't tell what kind of show I might have been into. When he was sick, he was just sick, and I'm like, we could get you another hamster, but well, that was just kind of how we did it then. And then today's time, my coworker got her daughter a hamster, and he was losing some hair, and she took him to the vet to find out, like, what are we going to do to help him get his hair back and this and that. That was something my parents would have never even thought about doing.
Correct. But I think that goes across the board with all pets. I think the place that a pet holds in our heart and in our families continues to become more central. And so it's something that, you know, whatever it is easier to acquire, and maybe not as much an investment up front. But, you know, I think people have evolved in their thinking of how they view those members of the family. And so people could spend between $8,000 and $15,000 on a pocket pet. If you think about it in one check, you know, yes, would I write a check right now, $15,000, and kind of have a pocket, you'd be like, you're crazy. But the things that you do all the time, whether it be getting the bedding or the, I don't want to say the cage, but the crate or the aquarium, I don't know, but maybe it is still called an aquarium, you see. And then all the toys and all the food and then the vet visits, it adds up. You just don't think about it on a day-by-day basis.
No, you don't. Have you ever had any of these pocket pets?
I have not. So reason being, I never had any pets. Well, I had some fish growing up. I don't think you'd put them in a pocket. They wouldn't last too long unless I had, like, you know, a Ziploc pocket with water. But my brother was highly allergic growing up, so I never had any pets up until I was older. So my first real pet was Ruby, the Portuguese water dog, and then Maddie. My neighbor had a bunny. My cousins had some hamsters. So I have spent some time with them. Someone in our company that I work with, he has a tortoise. You know, that's a unique one, you know?
And, yeah.
And he named it Tortellini. So.
Oh, no. That's the best name.
Yeah.
I had an aquatic turtle for about 25 years. I got him in middle school for being on straight A's. My dad was like, what do you want? And I was like, a turtle. He got to about that big, and he was in like a huge tank, 30 or more gallons. It was a pain in the neck to clean out, but had, you know, a platform, and it was full of water so he could deep dive for fish. It was wild. But he lived for a long time. And I named him Rap off of Raphael from the Ninja Turtle.
Since that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles fan, so yeah. But they eat pizza more often, right? I think they like...
Yes, they like pizza over fish, I think. So our next review, are you ready for another one?
I am ready.
Okay, great. This one is from Funshine Bear, and it is for the Georgia Aquarium.
Okay.
Have you been?
I have not. Is it in Atlanta, the Georgia Aquarium? I have not been to that one. I do like aquariums, and I've been to some really cool ones. I haven't spent much time in Atlanta yet. Maybe that's something on a to-do list.
Yes, they have whale shark there. They're the only aquarium you can see them at, so I definitely would put that on your list. Okay. I have... from Funshine Bear, and we're not very excited about our trip. We gave it 1 star. Now, we're going to count how many times this person says egregious.
I want to hear what's so egregious so many times.
Parking at the actual aquarium parking deck is egregious. The top floor did not move for 2 hours when everyone was trying to leave. It was egregious. A behavior from the guests while waiting for traffic to start moving was egregious. The line to get in was egregiously long and hot. Certain people inside the exhibit smelled egregious. But trying to get close enough to see the fish swim was like swimming through a crowd of egregiousness. Overall, egregious will not be back.
I got 7.
Egregious are variations on egregious, because there's a egregiousness and egregiously.
I didn't know there were so many ways you could use that word.
So, question here, when was that review given? Did you have a date on that for me?
August 16th, 2024.
24. Okay, so we're 10 months away. I'm wondering if the person who wrote that review went on ChatGPT and said, write me a review about how I did not like the Georgia Aquarium and used the word egregious 7 times.
They would have had to. I would have been like, could you add it in as many times as possible? Yeah. I think adding that the people that around him in the exhibit smelling egregious was far.
It's a smell. Like, I don't, like, you know, like, you know what? Hold on. I have a Google machine here. I'm going to see what is egregious. We could say she was, whoever left this review was very aggressive with her egregious. There we go. That rhymes. But I'm trying to find the exact definition of it. Okay. Egregious. Aggressive versus egregious. You know, I mean, like, it's just amazing. It's hard to find this stuff, right? I'm wondering if this. Here's my problem. I got 2 computers, so I'm like typing on one keyboard, but the other screen. Where is it? You got to find it for me.
Okay. The definition I found on my phone.
Yeah.
Is outstandingly bad or shocking.
So outstandingly bad or shocking. So the person's smell was outstanding.
I would like to think their smell was shocking and maybe like in a more positive way, like they were such a strong smell of vanilla that it was shocking, you know?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to sleep well tonight based on this. And I don't know if I'm ever going to use that word again, because I think it's been enough for both of us.
Yeah, that was enough times, I think, altogether.
I wonder if someone's going to use that in the review of this episode.
Oh, if you guys would like to review and add the word egregious in there in some form nicely, we would be happy to take part in that.
Well,
how can pet parents better understand the cost and better prepare for expecting an unexpected cost?
Yeah. Listen, it's always hard to, you know, it's an oxymoron, but it's like, how do you prepare for something unexpected? Well, you know, something's unexpected. How are you supposed to prepare for it? If you don't expect it, that means you're expecting it, right? But the fact is that you have to understand, as a pet parent, you are going to have unexpected expenses, no matter what. That's just, it's the cost of entry. It's the cost of life, just like with human kids and just like with your life. Who knows? You don't expect to get in a car accident, but sometimes, you know, stuff happens and that's it. So it's all about being prepared and not putting yourself in a situation where it's just going to create more stress for you. There's several ways, right? I think a little bit about care credit and having that financial flexibility to be able to pay for expenses, whether they're expected or unexpected, because the product works in a good way that it can help you in both cases, right? If it's, oh my God, I can't afford this and I need something to pay for it right now and at the drop of a hat. Or if it's, well, it's a good product anyways that lets me pay over time and it's just good financial budgeting and so on. So I recommend people definitely, you know, consider that as one of the options in their financial preparedness toolkit. Pet insurance is another great product, right? It's not right for everyone and every pet in every life cycle, but it is a very valuable tool in the overall pet wellness toolkit. And I think it's getting better and we're seeing more adoption of it. Now it's about 4%, but I think people are seeing the benefits of it. If the product is designed well, and if it's, you know, built to the specifications that you want, and some of it you understand going into some of the brands I'd recommend is like, Pets Best, Pumpkins Mott, Embrace. There's a bunch of great brands out there, but those I would definitely look after. And then, you know, listen, you can always have an emergency fund in case something is going to happen. Those are the 3 kind of financial tools. Have a savings account that you have just reserved for that pet family member, right? The last thing you want to do is when you're in a vet emergency situation or in any situation where you need to provide care for someone that you're responsible for, to be focused on the cost and how you're going to pay for it versus the outcome of what you want that loved one to be getting. And so anything you could do to
break down that barrier is what I recommend.
I like pet insurance. I hope it keeps improving as more and more people are, you know, getting into getting it for their pets. And so hopefully as it evolves, it becomes more accessible.
It will. I know because, you know, I work with independent pet holdings and, you know, a bunch of the brands that I mentioned before. And I know I see what's on the roadmap and all those brands are investing quite a bit in making the user experience better, in making claims reimbursement quicker and seamless and everything under the sun that would make a better user experience.
Okay, pet friends, let's take a quick commercial break. There is more fun to come, so don't go anywhere.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
How about this statistic that nearly 8 out of 10 pet owners underestimate the cost of care?
Yeah, that's right. And that's up from where it was before. So I think it's about education. It's about talking to your vet or your vet tech when you get that puppy, understanding, you know, different costs for different breeds, different costs in different geographies, right? So just education is so important. There's a lot of resources out there. We have it on our site as well at carecredit.com where you can also apply. But you can also see what the expected cost should be for a vet visit, for vaccinations and for an emergency visit if unfortunately something like that is required. So just arm yourself with information. But we are seeing more and more. And that number, I think Nessie's also going up quite a bit because we have so many first-time pet parents that adopted pets over the pandemic. And those pets, you know, were approaching, you know, 3, 4, 5 years old now. And that's when they start coming in with some more serious ailments and start seeing a little bit more sick visits than perhaps they would as they get through that little first puppy year or maybe a little giardia here or something like that. But then when you start getting to see 18 months to 4 years, usually it's pretty quiet. There's not a lot of stuff, but then suddenly they start developing a couple of things. And so people are being surprised because they haven't had that experience yet as being first-time pet parent.
Yep, people who call all the time, you know, price shopping, looking for their best deal to bring their baby in for their vaccines. A lot of times you have to explain it's not just about like, oh, you're coming in for the exam and the rabies. It's also about like, okay, but you also need the December parvo vaccine. You also should do the leptospirosis vaccine. You should also do Bordetella, especially if you're around other dogs and at risk of kennel cough. So there's a lot more things to it than just vaccinate your dog against rabies. Because there's a lot of dangerous things out there. So I can see where they kind of underestimate the cost. Because once we give them the breakdown, they're like, oh, well, I was kind of expecting to spend $50. That's not really how that works anymore.
Exactly. It's just a different thing. And again, better outcomes, longer living pets, healthier pets. But yeah, with that, there is an investment.
We can move on to Lap-a-Lot Bear if you're ready to hear what Lap-a-Lot Bear has to say.
I like.
Okay, hopefully it's not going to be egregious. I don't know. I thought I'd try it out, see if it worked. All right. So this is for a place called Gator Beach, and it's in like, I think, Destin, Florida is where it is.
Destin, okay. I've been to a couple of these places when my son was younger down in South Florida. I think one was called like Peacock Farm, and we definitely went to we did like one of those fan boats on the Everglades, right, where there's some...
Nice. That's on my to-do list.
I'm just hoping you don't read one of my reviews.
Stop. No. I won't put you out like that. But this place, it has a restaurant attached, and then there's like a little porch area with gators where they live, right? And that's the Gator Beach part. And I have a one-star review here from Lackalot Bear that says, "Oh, how easy it could be for someone to just fall in. There's a playground right above the gator. So easy to climb the sides, by the way. Kids are curious, fast, and it's beyond crowded there. Just all around not safe, in my opinion." So.
Well, is she looking for babysitting, or is she looking to show her kids a little bit of wildlife? I think she needs to decide what she's looking for in her gator experience. I think that's
what's missing here. I think there's a misalignment of expectation.
Don't let your kid climb the side and then they won't get in with the gators. But also, the playground, I remember seeing it. It's not like right above where the gators are. There's a little bit of distance. You know, it's not like they're like, hopefully your kid slides off the slide right into this gator mouse over here. So they did a little bit of planning. It's fun because at the top of the slide, you can look down and see all these gators and be like, oh my God, this is so fun. But I don't think they're in that much danger of just falling in.
I was looking for interesting day trips to do with my son in the summer. And so far, we're 0-3 on these locations that she found. And I'm more likely, because you've endorsed the Georgia Aquarium, because I'm hoping that the person with the egregious body odor and the parking situation rectified by now. But the other two, I don't know. I don't know.
The parking is not... I mean, it's a parking garage, but it's attached to the aquarium. So you get to walk through this like nice breezeway to get to the aquarium entrance. It's really not as bad as they made it out to be. And if you leave the same time as a bunch of people, any parking garage is a nightmare to get out of. I mean, they've never been built for comfort, you know?
Well, anything that attracts crowds, right? You know, it's never going to be easy. Yeah, that's the investment you got to make.
So anyway, unless you're a 7-year-old, if you don't plan on watching him and you think he's going to dive over the side into the pond of alligators, this may not be the place for you. But I feel like you'll probably have your eyes on him pretty well.
Yeah, there's days where I say, well, you know, I'd roll the dice. But generally, I think, you know, we'll want to keep him around. He's got enough scars that he creates on his own.
Oh, yeah. Little boys can get into anything.
Oh, and he figures it out. Yeah.
Being in Florida, I'm sure you're very familiar with gators.
Yes, we are very familiar with gators. We get a lot of great wildlife here, especially because, you know, I grew up in Canada. And so it's very different, right? When you see the iguanas and the baby lizards and the pelicans and the manatee, right? And it is really nice to kind of get that diversity. It's almost like a little childhood, you know, kind of experience for me, where I'm seeing a lot of these things for the first time. Like, oh my God, a manatee. I start running, you know, and maybe I knock my son over and I'm like, I got to see this thing. But yeah, and it is fun to kind of see those different types of wildlife and fauna and everything. So it's definitely enjoyable being in different climates. And the same thing was when we, you know, lived in different places. I mentioned that we was in Hong Kong and London. You know, in London, they were the urban fox, but you just don't see fox walking around town. But you do, and not every day in London, but we did see him quite a bit in the summer and when we lived there. And then in Hong Kong, but just amazing, some of the, you know, exotic animals that you see over there and just the different customs and how people decide to kind of share bear households with different types of wildlife.
I think I've seen some videos where there's monkeys that kind of just wander around freely.
In some areas of Hong Kong, yeah, I remember I used to love going, and there's like a zoo right in the middle, and I would walk by it when I go to work, and me and the lemurs were good friends. They'd always ask me, you know, how life was, and, you know, so it was just, listen, that's what's great. You know, you go in different parts of the world, you see all these different animals, and it keeps you fascinated, right? Whether it was we would go to Indonesia on vacation and, you know, they would just jump all over you and, you know.
That's what I want.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It is, until you can't get them off you.
Oh. They're very abrasive.
They are.
Personal space. Yeah.
It was just.
What are some trends in pet spending that were found in 2025 in your study?
Well, you know, I think we hit a lot that prices are going up. We're seeing a lot about that. We're seeing that people are willing to pay more because people do want to get the best care the critter pets. We see people are spending more on pet insurance and adopting insurance more than they did in the past, right? Which again is another great thing, which interesting, larger increase for cats than dogs of the population that got insurance last year. So that's interesting.
That's exciting.
You know, I think the other thing that we talked about is, you know, 3 out of 4 pet parents will get surprised by a bill over $500 and they're not prepared that they can deal with an expense at that amount. And that's an increase from the past where it was 2 out of 4. So people are feeling the costs and want to have solutions to help pay and give that ultimate best care to their pet family member, right? I think that's one of the key takeaways is that it's hard. I have no doubt it's getting harder for some people to afford some of these bills, but there's more solutions out there. And in talking to and in a survey that we did with pet parents, more and more want to hear about financial solutions, but maybe aren't hearing it enough from the veterinary community because it's not always an easy topic to talk about. But they want to hear about it and they want solutions. And it's something that, you know, we have to do, better educate. Just why I'm talking to you and spending time with people in the industry to, you know, let everyone know that, hey, it's not always easy, but there's solutions out there to help you.
I also see Care Credit everywhere as far as the CE event I went to in Gulf Shores at Auburn. One of their sponsors was Care Credit and, you know, you guys were out there. And
yeah. We invest a lot. It's not just marketing. It's educating the ecosystem. And it starts, whether it be at the universities or the, you know, vet tech, you know, education and the associations and sponsoring CE courses to make things easier to digest and to talk. Because we know it could be an uncomfortable conversation, right? You know, finance isn't necessarily the easiest thing to talk about, especially when you're equating it with the care that you want to give to someone. So it is something that requires some training on and understanding of what's on the other end of that conversation. We do a lot of that with all the universities that have vet schools. We partnered with the AVM on a couple of studies on the language of care and financial care, and how do we use certain words better to make it more transparent and understanding of how these products are used and also what the benefits are, and try to make it so that you and Nessie, your colleagues and the vets are comfortable talking about all the nuances of the products.
So how could people learn more about Care Credit?
Yeah, thanks, Nessie. I think there's a couple ways. You can go to Care Credit. That's pretty easy to remember and pretty easy to get to, and you can apply for there. But you could also learn about all the stuff I'm talking about and all the stats. We're accepted in about 85% of the veterinary practices in the U.S., so more than 27,000 vet practices, including the one you work at, right, Nessie? So we have great wide acceptance of the card. And you know, it's not just for animal health in the vet industry. It's also works for human health, so dentistry, you know, vision, cosmetic stuff. So it's great utility. It's not something that you just have to use once and get reapproved each time. It's a revolving line of credit, which is great because especially in animal health, your pet's probably going to go to vet more than once a year. And so not having to re-qualify every single time is a real differentiator. So carecredit.com or at your local veterinarian.
Yeah, we've helped many people who, even though it's easy to navigate the website, some people aren't as computer savvy or phone savvy. So I've helped many people with their applications. Actually, a little bit of a random question. Does the credit line increase like with other credit cards? Like if you stay on top of your Care Credit, does that increase?
Sure. What we do is monitor your credit and your credit scores. And with strong credit behavior, your line can increase, or you can always call and say, hey, can I get an increase in my credit line? Because I have one pet and I just adopted a second one and I need more credit to be able to pay for that. And they'll run the numbers. And if you qualify, increase your credit line.
Interesting. I actually had no idea about that. So I've had people ask before and but now I know. Now I can answer confidently.
Thank you. It's not a random question. It's a good question.
Are you ready for our final review with Super Bear?
I hope it's going to be cheerier than the last three bears that we let.
I can't promise all that. You're asking for a lot for me.
Yeah, you're really scraping the barrel with these.
Oh, God. Let's do a review on a bear horn self-defense. Okay, the horns that if you see a bear in your yard, you're supposed to blow and scare them out of your yard.
Interesting. My wife has one on the on her night table, but I thought it was because she says I snore. But anyways, okay.
To remind you you're snoring again? No, it's actually supposed to ward bears off. So Chair Bear left a 1-star review.
This is interesting because 1-star on something that's going to scare a bear away, if it didn't work, I'm surprised she's able to leave a review. But let's hear it.
It says, "Not good for bears!" Exclamation mark. And that was the whole review. So it was a short one. It was a very short one, but yes, it does not work on bears.
Oh, it doesn't work on bears. Is that what she's saying, or is she saying it's not good for bear?
It doesn't work.
So, you see. Maybe. I don't know. I haven't used one, but I'd like some closure on that story, right?
She's okay because she was able to post the review, but, like, how did you get the bear to go? What happened?
Exactly. Maybe her hands are mauled and that's all she could type. I don't know. Like, I was, at first when you said not good for bears, I thought it was maybe the bear, you know, giving a review to try to get the bears, because it gave them the bear.
That would make more sense.
That's what I'm talking. It's like those Chick-fil-A ads with the cow saying "eat more chicken."
Yeah, we're gonna say this is from Chair Bear herself, probably. Yep, that's funny. I did see another review on there where someone was using it to chase the cats out of her yard, and she's like, "It's great to chase cats away." So, also not a bear related review. So I don't know.
But you know what? Who knows? And inventions are strange, right? You know, this was originally invented to do something else, and turns out it's a great thing to, I guess, scare cats out of your yard.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't know. I'm gonna save my money. I'm not gonna buy the bear horn. No bears in South Florida.
And only for if you're snoring, egregiously snoring.
Well, my wife would say, yeah, exactly. The best way, you know, we talked about insurance before. If you want to get insurance, go to petsbest.com or, you know, Google Embrace or Pumpkin Bot Pet Insurance. Those are all great brands. So I think something that should be considered there. But carecredit.com, or if you go into vet, we have the QR code you can scan, or you can talk to your vet about it. And I think that's the best way to kind of get in touch and apply.
I like it. All right. Well, that's a wrap up on today's episode. I want to give a huge thanks to Jonathan for sharing some serious knowledge with us today. Whether you're raising a Great Dane or a guinea pig, the message is clear. Plan smart, love big, and don't forget treats, along with that Care Credit line. That's it for today's adventure. Remember, planning ahead keeps tails wagging, whiskers twitching, and surprises at bay. From your friendly neighborhood vet tech and part-time legend, see you next time where the facts are real and the monsters are kind.
Jonathan's got his suitcase packed again. 95 countries, he's seen the world spin. From boardrooms to beaches under skies so wide, he's got Matty the poodle and his family by his side. Oh, he's a globetrotter, a finance king, senior VP with a world on a string. Through numbers and nations, his story flows with his heart at home wherever he goes. His family, the base. Oh, he's a globetrotter, a finance king, senior VP with a world on a string. Through numbers and nations, his story flows with his heart at home wherever he goes. Under every sky. But when the day's done,
His world revolves round his family tree. Jonathan May, his wife and son, a life well traveled, a race well run. He's the man with a plan, the stories to share, but home is the place, he's beyond compare.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.